Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. So today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I'm bringing you yet another incredible guest episode. So in today's episode, we're going to be speaking on creating solid financial foundations in business. Now, we've spoken about finance on this podcast before. We've spoken about it from the lens of manifesting, but we've not spoken about it from, I guess, this real foundational level. So Reagan is the owner of All Ease Accounting, and she is a self-referred numbers witch. She offers done-for-you bookkeeping services and teaches business owners how to become financially literate to create the business success that they desire. In this episode, we're going to unpack how getting to know your numbers actually creates impact for you in your business, the importance of setting up those strong financial foundations in your business so that you have that sustainability that you're wanting to create, and of course, setting up financial systems for your growth as well. This episode is one to tune into to get inspired and really take charge of your business finances. So let's dive in. I'm very excited to introduce you to Reagan. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to dive into all of the money stuff with y'all.
Yes, I'm super excited. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about who you are, what it is you do, and what it is that you offer.
Yeah, I am a numbers witch is what I call myself. I'm a small business bookkeeper based in Louisiana in the United States. And I serve my clients by providing done-for-you bookkeeping. So we're like, I'm doing the bookkeeping, or I teach them how to do their own bookkeeping and how to understand their business finances. My goal is for every business owner to be financially literate and through that, more empowered by their numbers. I want you to read your numbers, understand what they mean, and then use them to set goals, to plan, and to have the life that you want to have.
I love this. And I feel like there would be a lot of people nodding along being like, "Ooh, hang on a minute. I'm not sure how much I know my numbers," because I know that so many clients I've worked with, you know, you start your business and you don't always set the foundations that, you know, you need in place in order to grow your business and scale. And it's not until you reach those points that sometimes you go, actually, now I need to backtrack and I need to set some really good foundations in place so I can keep on the trajectory that I'm going on. And I think finances is an area that sometimes we kind of bury our head in the sand.
Yeah, that is the analogy that I've used, other people have used. Like, it is an emotional thing for a lot of us. When we start looking at our money, when we start thinking about our money, we have a whole story around money about like what it means about us, whether we have money or not, or how much. And then because it's such an emotional response that we have, and usually not a good one, we tend to look away from it. We tend to find something else to distract ourselves because it's not pleasant to sit down and look at it, especially if you're somebody that like doesn't really understand what it all means or how it impacts you and like your taxes and like, you know, how do I even sit down and set a goal if I don't know how much money I need to live my life? And so it's because it's such an emotional response. I think that's why people are like, I can't look at it. I would rather be doing anything else, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for me, when I first started my business, it was also really confronting just to be like, in the beginning stages for me, I was constantly investing in my business, in myself, and growing my skills and all of these things. So I remember finding it really confronting, because I had a moment where I was like, okay, I need to take this business seriously. You know, when you have that mindset of like, this isn't, I don't just want this to be my side hustle. I want this to be my full-fledged business. I need to treat it as such. And I remember sitting down being like, right, numbers, let me get clear on my numbers and have some clarity around it. And I remember at the end of that process, having this almost sinking feeling, being like, oh my gosh, at this point, and this is the very starting stage of business, I was like, this is a glorified hobby. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is terrible. I'm outputting all this money and I'm not getting the income that I'm wanting. So I think it can be really scary to delve into it, because you might have an inkling of what's going on, but when you get that full clarity, sometimes it can be really confronting to be like, okay, this is the situation. But I know my experience from having that clarity and that awareness, that is when you hold that power to make those changes and be like, okay, we need to shift gears here. What do I need to do from here? And so I'd love to know, you know, from your perspective, where is that great starting point? Where can we start?
Yeah, I love to say that, well, you brought up like taking your business seriously. And it's so funny to me that like people don't start to take themselves seriously until they're like at a certain point in their business. And it's like, other people are taking you seriously. Other people are paying you real dollars, like money, to help them or to provide a product to them or to serve them in some way, help them solve a problem. Like, they're paying you money, so they take you seriously. But so many business owners have that same experience where they're like, I'm just like a side hustle. I've just got a side gig. Or, you know, since this is the Mom Boss podcast, like, it's probably women who are like the caretakers of their family and they're the homemakers. And they're like, you know, I could just do something. I could just do a little something to bring in some extra money. And that is not taking yourself seriously. And then when you do need to sit down at some point, everybody will get there to look at your numbers and to figure out what's going on and to see like what is actually happening. It can be almost devastating to realize that, like, in order to grow or in order to do what you want to do, you have to have the power in your hands, which is the data. And so what I tell people is that the magic number is zero. We need to have a system for you to track your finances at $0 of revenue before we start taking money from people. And I know that that is maybe not a realistic thing for some people, but like that would be, if I could wave a magic wand and change something, it would be that everybody understands and feels empowered by money and financial data before they get started with something like that. So I just tell folks, like, I would love to meet you before you start your business, but I'm also happy to meet you wherever you are in your business, as long as you're like, all right, I'm ready for this. Like, I need the education. I need to sit down and have a system that works for me that I can come back to and like that I participate in with like my record keeping and bookkeeping. If you're at that point, it doesn't matter where, what else is going on in your business. Like, we're ready to work together and I can help you feel more financially empowered.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it is getting clear on those numbers. And for some people, it's being aware of what those numbers even are and how do you look at collating them together and what do you need to understand? And I think you touched on it there in sharing that not everyone is financially literate. You know, we're not always understanding of how the mechanics of a business actually work and what we need to look at there. So I guess, you know, where do we start from that lens of learning and understanding, but then also being able to collate that data ourselves as well?
Totally. I want everybody to know that, like, you not being financially literate or you being kind of in the dark about money and finances, like, that is on purpose. That is like a system thing. The systems are built so that, like, they are confusing. Like, in the United States, the tax law is incredibly complex. And that's on purpose. Like, they don't want people to even file their own returns. They want you to like use the software or hire a CPA or who is an accountant in the United States and like somebody to help you manage the tax code. And they make it so convoluted, like on purpose. So the fact that you're not financially literate, just if you're a lay person who doesn't have like a business degree or a finance degree or a college degree at all, like it's not a shameful thing to not understand it. So let's start there with like, it's okay that you don't understand things, but like you also don't need to understand the whole system in order to really make some effective changes in your business and to really like feel your own agency and feel like you actually are in control and making choices that are based on data. Like we can look at the numbers together and we can decide like, what would be the best course of action? Where do you want to go from here? How can we get there? It doesn't take a lot. Like it's just, yeah, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And it also isn't going to take much to get folks to that point where they're like, okay, like this makes sense to me. How all of this kind of fits into my life, how it all works on like a little bit of a higher level. And you don't have to be like a tax lawyer or an accountant to understand it either.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess, you know, from that practical standpoint, mm-hmm. what do we look at first?
Yeah, so I always tell folks like the first place we start is like, where does your data live? Your records, you know, bank statements, receipts, all of that. Like, yeah, we need to keep our receipts. We have to have some sort of record of the money that we made and the money that we spent. So I tell folks to start there. We need to have one place for that information to live. And it needs to be in a system that is referential, meaning that you know where things are. If I know that I bought a computer in November of 2022, when I started my business, I can look in a specific place and find that information. Like it's like going into a library and like they have a system for like sorting their books and you can be like, I want fiction, romance novel, set like Western country. Like they're going to take you to a specific shelf for that. So the bookkeeping and the record keeping for our finances is the same way. We want to be able to say like, I need to, you know, find this receipt for when I bought office supplies. I know where to go to find that information. So having one place for it to kind of funnel into, that can be setting up a system in your email inbox so that like invoice or receipt or bill in the subject line or in the email body gets filtered to a folder so it doesn't get lost. If you're one of the people with like 50,000 unread emails in your email inbox, maybe we could think about cleaning that up, but set up a filter so that the important things dealing with your money go to one place. You have one place to look to find that information. And then from there, it is just about what do we do with that data? What do we do with the records and the numbers? And it is like on a transaction level. And by transaction, I mean, you swiped your debit card. You know, you accepted money through PayPal from somebody, from a client. So having that transaction and a category for it is the next step. So we have to have one place for the information to live. And then we need to find a way to categorize it. Like, how are we claiming this as a business expense? Especially when it comes to your income, the money that you're making in your business revenue. I like to have a couple of different categories if you have a couple of different like products or services that you sell, but don't overcomplicate it. I tell folks like 2 to 3 maybe income categories is all we really need, especially if you're like a solo entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on this. And I think it's just creating that system that works for you too. Like you said, you know, making it easy for yourself. I know for me that in the beginning stages, I just simply used an Excel spreadsheet and mm-hmm. I had everything in there and it was probably very basic, but I understood it. I knew what I had. And it served the purpose at that time. And obviously, as your business grows and things change, you might then look into some software and other things down the track.
Right.
But as you said, like find a way that makes it easy, find a way that does exactly what you need it to in a way that you can understand. And that mm-hmm. is a really great starting point. Also, I want to mention here too that, and I'm just sharing from my experience because I know that so many can relate and resonate with this too. Another area where I feel like I went wrong, and I'm saying this in air quotation marks because yeah. we all learn from our experiences and our journeys, but mm-hmm. I remember when I first started my business too that I didn't have a separate bank account for it. I would run mm-hmm. everything through my own account, and I remember I soon got to a point where I was like, this is messy, and I'm quite an organized person. So I was like, this does not work for me. But I wanted to touch on this because I've definitely had a few conversations of late with people that are like, oh, you know, I don't have a separate bank account for my business.
Yeah.
And I feel like you would definitely agree with me here and being like, that is definitely a great place to be starting too.
Yeah. Sometimes I forget to mention it because I feel like it should be just like common sense or common knowledge. And then I have to remember, like, I do need to explain that sometimes, especially from a bookkeeping stance, someone who is a bookkeeper for other people, it is much easier for me to not have to sort through all of your personal transactions. And it will be easier for you as well. Like when you make money in your business, put it in a business account. When you're spending money for your business, try to keep those transactions in that one business checking account. And, you know, there are like legal aspects to this about like protecting your business assets versus your personal assets and all of that. But like, just for simplicity's sake, like there are people who do like home budgeting where they have like a bills account and then they have like a play account for like, you know, things that they want to save up for or things that they do that aren't like the utility bills and like the mortgage and stuff. So, you know, think of it like that. Like we need to keep things simple and we need to know like where our business money stands. And then, you know, as you're paying yourself, you're just moving money into your personal account.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worthwhile touching on this because I just know that I'm definitely not alone. And if there's anyone listening who is really in that startup phase, it might be something that they haven't necessarily considered. And I think sometimes that mindset is if you feel that there's not the volume coming in or out, you might be like, it's fine just to run it through my personal account. But that soon changes. And again, laying those foundations as early as you possibly can really make a big difference long-term as well. So I guess once you have laid these really solid foundations in setting up systems, knowing your data, what is the next step when you're getting to that point where your business is starting to grow? What are the things that we need to be looking at next?
Yeah, I agree with like setting a good foundation is important. And it does go back to like taking your business seriously from day one or from dollar zero. And another thing that I would like to mention is that especially in this day and age where there's so many different payment apps and websites and Stripe and Square and PayPal and Venmo, and we could just collect money from anybody from anywhere. Like there is something to be said for simplicity's sake. So, you know, once you get past the kind of startup crazy phase where you're just like accepting money because like you need money. Once we get a good solid, maybe like foundation for your minimum balance in your checking account, let's say that you maintain like $2,000 or $5,000 or whatever the number is in your business account for, you know, a couple of months, then we can look at like, what would be beneficial for you to invest in your business? Is it hiring a workforce, whether that's direct employees who are like employed in your business or contracting services like virtual assistants, VAs, bookkeeping, you know, legal or HR, some other consulting, marketing, like what would be like, I guess you would just really need to decide what your vision long-term for the business is and like what the next step is going to be for you to invest in your business that's going to be one step closer to that vision. So I know that for me and a lot of other folks, like you kind of just fly by the seat of your pants for a little while until you can like really get a consistent like revenue stream where. And that is the point, I think, where you start to see the sustainability in your business. You start to see like this can actually last long term. If I keep it at this consistent level, this is sustainable for me, like energetically, financially, physically. So if I want to go to the next level, what would I need to do that? Is it more revenue? Is it a, you know, farther reach or audience? Is it more people coming in, if you have a retail, you know, brick and mortar kind of business, what is going to be the thing that is the next step to take you to that level? Because as we've got data, as we've got revenue, we've got expenses, and we have all these numbers and this history to look, how can we now use that to decide, I can afford this thing, or I want to be able to afford this thing. How do I get there?
I love that. And I think, you know, you touched on this in the beginning too, of being able to use your financials and that data to help you with your goals as well. So I'd love to know how you do that, how we do that so that we can really set ourselves up for success in the future as well.
Yeah, I think it's really getting clear on first things first, like what your offers are. Do you have multiple offers? Do you have like one thing that you sell? What is the price for that thing? And then we need to look at like where you are now. Do you have a consistent average monthly revenue? Are you bringing in $1,000 or $2,000 a month, you know, before expenses? This is just like money coming in. What does that baseline look like? And then, okay, if I know that I want to make this much money this year, and I'm at this point in my business right now, and I've got, you know, this baseline coming in, will I get to that goal through this with this baseline of revenue coming in every month? Or do I need to expand a little bit? Do I need to up my revenue? Do I need to lower costs? You know, there's so many different variables we can play around with, but I think coming back to the clarity of your offers, like, what are the services or products that you're selling? Like, what do your offers look like? Is it a one-off thing? Somebody pays you once and they get the thing? Or is it like an ongoing service that you're providing to them? Or like a package? Or what are your offers? Like, do they pay once? Do they continue paying on a regular basis? And then we can start to crunch those numbers and be like, if I sold this many of this offer, is that going to get me to my goal? And you can kind of like move some of these pieces around. You know, I have like a spreadsheet that I use that's like, it took me a while to make that, like, you know, we can just like play around and plug in some numbers and look at, you know, if I focused my energy on this offer and I really filled out this program or I really filled out this area of like my clients, will that get me to my revenue goal? Or should I put my energy and time and marketing into this other offer over here because it sells at a higher rate, or I'm more consistently, you know, converting those sales? Like when I talk to somebody about this offer, do they pick it over this one? And so like using those numbers and using that data, it's just like running a math equation. Like at that point, are we going to get there or not? How can we, you know, play around with the recipe, I guess, is really how to look at it. Like, what ingredients do we need to throw in here to get you where you want to be?
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting, you know, the topic of like profit and analyzing that in the way I see it is like there's two different ways you can analyze this. It's like you can, if you're wanting to increase your profit, does that look like increasing your income and, you know, selling? Or does it look like potentially decreasing some of those costs and expenses that you have? And I think sometimes we forget that other piece. I think when we're wanting to grow our businesses, grow our profit margin, we just look at, okay, sell more. I need more income coming in. But actually, is there an opportunity where you can actually look at some of those costs and expenses and evaluate them? And I know for me, that's something I do a regular audit in my business to be like, okay, let me evaluate all this and see, can I make some changes here? It's almost like how we do in our general lives of like the insurance renewals come in and we go, okay, well, I'm going to shop around. We can do that in our business. And honestly, I feel like some people forget that little piece that can make a big difference in our, you know, profit margins.
Yeah, totally. I 100% agree. However, for me personally, it sounds like a lot more fun to go make more money.
Absolutely.
I have looked at this many times. I've been in business. May 2024 will be my second year, like anniversary in business. So it's coming up. And I have done a lot of the looking at my expenses over that entire time. And I have very low expenses. I work from my home. I don't have like employees or anything. It's just me. I don't have a lot of software that I need to pay for. I don't have like a marketing budget at all. I do, you know, 100% organic like marketing and advertising for my business. So one of the biggest things that I pay for this entire time is coaching. Like I need a business coach to sit my ass down and tell me like, hey, we need to work on this thing, or like, you're not going to get anywhere with this thought over here, this mindset. And to me, like that is the biggest expense in my business, I think. And I have always sat down and looked at it and been like, yeah, like I could just stop the coaching and then I'd have a lot more money each month. But then I wouldn't have like the coaching and the community support. And like, I'm a little baby entrepreneur. I need somebody to like hold my hand just as much as I hold my clients' hands. Like, I need that for myself too. So I have done the evaluation of my expenses. And every single time I'm like, you know what? No, I'm just going to go make more money. Like, that sounds like a lot more fun than me sitting here thinking about what do I need to give up. That like everything I feel like I have a good setup that like everything I'm paying for right now, I'm like, I am getting like serious value out of this and I don't want to give it up. Like, please don't make me give it up. So yeah, I agree though, but like just knowing that there are a couple of different, like it's two sides to that coin. Like, you get to pick one or the other. And if you have your financial data in a system and you've got like reports and numbers to look at, that's what I mean when I say we can make a decision from an empowered place rather than like, I really need to cut costs or I have to do one or the other. Like, telling myself that I have to do something is a great way for me to not do it. So, or to not want to do it. And everybody who knows me knows that about me. But yeah, like just being able to sit down and look at that is very empowering. And then I can make that choice. And I feel like, okay, I'm the one making this choice. I'm not going to cut those expenses. I'm just going to go make more money. And like, I feel better. And I feel like I have, you know, the agency and the independence that I wanted when I set out to start my business. That's what I wanted. So I need to kind of like take that sometimes and be like, I wanted to be the one in charge. I wanted to be the one in control of making these choices. So let's sit down and make a good, educated, informed choice.
Absolutely. And I think too, we can't not touch on the fact that reinvesting back in yourself and your business is always beneficial. And, you know, I'm a life and business coach for moms, and I too have a coach. You know, we need that support. And I think in particular, being moms in business, we really need that support. You know, we're juggling many balls in the air at once. We need that support and guidance. And as you said, you know, just sometimes that hand holding to be like someone that you can call upon in those times when you need it. And I think no matter what stage of business you're at, whether you're in the startup phase, whether you're in your scale, grow, whatever stage you're at, you're always going to benefit from having that support with you. And, you know, whatever number that looks like, you know that the return of your investment that you're getting back far outweighs what you're outlaying. And yeah, I definitely, throughout all my years in business as a mom, I have always had a support, whether it's, you know, I'm in a group coaching situation, whether I've got a one-on-one coach, whatever that's looked like. And it has always paid off tenfold for me in having that support. So I actually love that you shared that.
Yeah, the coaching program that I'm in is specifically for selling for like solo entrepreneurs like myself. And the first week that I was in that community, I got a client, and that kind of contract, and I wasn't in there to get a client. Let's make that perfectly clear. I was in there for like, I need to like have business support, and I need to like practice some of the things in like a safe space where I can mess up and it's not a life or death situation. And I had someone in the community realize who I was, and they were like, oh yeah, like I need to talk to you. And I was like, okay, cool. And then because I've gained that client in my business, the coaching, it paid for itself like immediately a couple of times over. So that to me was proof immediately that I was like, I'm never cutting this off. Like, this is totally worth it. Like, I logically, even if I were to ignore, like, I made a sale or I got a client from being in this community, even if it didn't have something to do with that, I definitely got like a return on my investment. I get a lot of value from being in community with those folks. And logically, my brain's like, but I also made my money back and then some. So anyway, it shakes out, like, we're good.
There's always growth to be had. And I think, we really do need support. It's especially when you work from home, especially when you know, I know for me, I work from home, I work purely online. So I'm often by myself, you know, unless I've got a client and I'm, you know, engaging in this way. We're often by ourselves, and so it's just really nice to have that support in the way of a community to lean on throughout our ride, because owning a business is a ride.
Yes, it's a roller coaster for sure. Women who are mothers and like caretakers of their children often don't ever invest something like in themselves at such a level as like coaching. And, you know, even when you are a mom who starts a business from home, it's like, well, I want to make this money to like better support my family or better provide for my children or like, you know, help out with the household bills and stuff. Even starting a business is somehow not even for you. Like, it's for your family, or it's for the household, or it's for the good of the group, like whatever it is. And I think it's so important to like hopefully reframe that a little bit and see having a business like can be something that is just for you, and it doesn't have to be for anybody else. It can just be because you want to do something fun or helpful or resourceful, or, you know, just creating. Like, business ownership is extremely creative. Like, I knew that going in, but I've also had to relearn that a couple times. Like, you have to be extremely creative to be a business owner and to be, you know, sustainable and long and have longevity with it. And it can just be that you want to create something, you want to, you know, do something fun, you want to do something interesting for yourself that like isn't about anybody else. It's okay for it to be something for you. And then you do get to reinvest in it just for yourself too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as mums, a big part of our why in why we start our business is our family. You know, I know for me that starting my business, a huge part of my why was definitely the time, flexibility and freedom it would allow so I could pick my kids up from school every day. But I think underlining that there is still that pure passion and enjoyment and love for why I do what I do as well. And I think you need to have that sometimes too. And so I think it's always really helpful to really uncover your why, not just that surface level, like reason, like really dig deep as to why you want to do your business or have the business you have. And I think there's often so many elements and parts to that. And so, yeah, I think it's important to get clear on that as well.
I think my why is that I get to be in such close community with my clients, like as their accountant, as their bookkeeper, like I see everything, like every penny that they spend. And that is a very personal, intimate, like look into people's lives, even if it's their business account. It's still like I get a window into their business that nobody else does. And I don't take that lightly. And I have a lot of respect for the trust that my clients put in me, but like, that is my why. It's like any person that I run into or any business that I walk into, if you're a business owner, like the wheels are already turning for me. I'm already trying to figure out like what you've got going on, how it all works behind the scenes, the systems that you have in place, just out of like curiosity and like wanting to share that like camaraderie of like entrepreneurship with other people. So I feel like being like in the accounting and bookkeeping position is such a unique place to be. And it's such like an honored place to be in partnership with my clients in that way. Cause like, I have people that find me on TikTok and they're like, yeah, here's, you know, my QuickBooks log, you know, all my bank logins and stuff. And I'm like, like, you just found me on social media, and like, thank you for trusting me. Like, if people wanted to like run a background check, of course I would let them. Like, I love that I've just presented myself as such a trustworthy person that you asked me to come into your business and like help you, you know, get things kind of working in order again. So that is like on the deeper level for me. Like, yeah, I want to have flexibility and like financial stability in my life. And I want to, you know, work from home and work for myself and all of that. But on the deeper level, it is like creating community in such an intimate and unique way with people and their finances. Because like I said at the beginning, this is a very emotional thing for a lot of people. And you do have to kind of hold space for that sometimes when we're talking about their money.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at the core of it too, it's about also just purely wanting to help someone else as well. And, you know, it's the same with coaching too. It's wanting to be of that support to help someone else and see them succeed. And it's exactly the same with what you do as well. It's like to know that you start working with a client and, you know, you can see the progress and the growth that they've had and knowing that you've played a small part in that. Like, you know, it's really rewarding to have that. And I think, you know, having a business that allows us to do what we love and enjoy is something that we are so lucky to have. And it's something that we can all have as well. This isn't something that is just exclusive to us. So I have absolutely loved our chat. I mean, we could talk about this all day long.
But I definitely could.
Absolutely. So I'd love to know, where can my listeners best find and connect with you?
Yeah. So since they're listening to a podcast now, I'll let you know that I have a weekly podcast. It's called Money Through Ease, and that is available on any podcast platform, and mostly talking about entrepreneurship and like just the experience, because it's almost like a personal journey for me or a personal journal for me too with my business. Like, you get a look into what's going on for me. I have guests on to talk about their expertise, and I just want to be able to provide that value to folks. And then, like I said, I mostly hang out on TikTok, and my handle there is at Ray Ray Hammer. But I turned my personal account into a business account, and I'm at All Ease Accounting on Instagram. That's
amazing. Well, I'll put all the links to that in the show notes so you can easily go over and connect with Reagan. Let us know that you've listened to the episode and what your biggest takeaway has been. But I've loved chatting with you, and we will talk very soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to ReneeO'Neill.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at ReneeO'Neill, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.